talk with Art Bell, call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
Well, if I'm hearing all this correctly, I think it means that if we don't want the world as we know it to change irretrievably, irrevocably from our point of view, if we don't want the song to end in 2012, then we had better have the music in us. Or we better figure out what it is about the pyramids that puts everything back on track. What do you think? Anyway, that's the way it sounds. Back to it in a moment with my guests, Richard C. Hoagland and David Wilcock. Geologically, I have no problem whatsoever believing that the magnitude of the changes that we're discussing right now have occurred in the past. We have evidence of that. We just sort of put it up on the shelf and ignore it, but you really can't. It did happen. I think most of us in the pit of our stomach know that it happened and that it can happen again. Once again, my guests, Richard C. Hoagland, David Wilcock, gentlemen, an email, which I just happened to grab very quickly. The program tonight seems to indicate that the size of the pyramid has the ability to focus the energy from the cosmos. If the fluid parameters of oil have changed, as demonstrated by what you said in Russia, imagine what would happen if the surface tension of biochemical reaction were changed. All reactions in our body require this surface tension or contact with molecules to cause biochemical reactions. Jerry from Vista, California. So, comments?
David?
Well, the pyramid power that we're talking about goes well beyond simply non-technical things. And when you start getting into biology science, it gets even more bizarre and interesting. Let me give you a couple examples, which are really fascinating.
Sure.
First one was done by the Ivanovsky R&D Institute of Virology within the Russian Academy of Medical Science. Now, this is mainstream stuff.
Okay.
You got to remember, the Soviet Union, prior to 1991, was toe-to-toe with the U.S.
Sure.
But then when they collapsed, you have these scientists who are literally living on $30 a month.
Right.
Who have the time and the incentive to do this pyramid research. So anyway, Klemenko and Nosik from this Ivanovsky R&D Institute took a drug called venoglobulin, which is a naturally occurring compound in a human being's blood that fights viruses. When they diluted this drug down to 50 micrograms per milliliter and stored it in the pyramid for a short time, It became 300% more effective at killing viruses. Another one which I find really fascinating came from the R&D Institute of Pediatrics, Obstetrics, and Gynecology, headed by Professor A.G. Antonov. They took a solution of 40% glucose and distilled water and put it in the pyramid. And all they gave was 1 milliliter of this glucose to 20 different premature babies with compromised immune systems. The babies that were given this formula had their health increased to rapidly practical and normal levels, whereas the control group had no real change.
God, these are incredible things you're saying. So if these things are true, then why wouldn't science in the West say, oh my God, and let's see if we can duplicate that experiment?
Well, given that we've had 15 years of non-progress in the so-called cold fusion area,
yes,
where we had a stunning experiment, you know, with eminently world-class reputable scientists in Utah, with an astonishing support from the Congress, because I know Robert Rowe enacted legislation to try to move to help them almost immediately. How do I know this? Because I had a meeting with him on the Mars question. He was the head of the House Science Committee. I had a meeting on Cydonia, and one of the things we discussed back then, in 1989, was cold fusion and how he was moving to get the committee to help. You know what happened to Robert Rowe? He was first drummed out of his House chairmanship. He then was drummed out of the House itself, and he, having sideswiped and almost killed a woman and her little girl in a van one dark night, because he was basically an alcoholic.
Okay.
He fell from the supreme science position in the U.S. Congress to a drunk because something intervened in his career and what he wanted to do to help Bonds and Fleischman and to help me with Sidonia redounded to his profound detriment. You want to know why this stuff is not mainstream? There is a control mechanism. There is censorship. It is, as Gene Mayoff said in his last editorial, it is the evil, the invisible evil of science and politics in 21st century.
Why would the West and modern science in the West want to suppress something that could save all of humanity?
How is science funded?
By government.
And where does government get its money?
From us.
It picks our pockets, right?
Yeah.
It decides what's priorities, it decides what's nonsense and pseudoscience.
Yes.
In order for a scientist to maintain a living, to put his kids through school, to pay for his car, keep a house over his head, he has to get grants. If the only trough you get a grant from is from agencies that tell you what is acceptable and not acceptable, you quickly learn to fall in line with what's acceptable. Gene said in
But that's not answering my question.
Gene,
that's the business end of what you consider to be a conspiracy. My question
was without business, you have no science anymore.
Yes, but my question was, Richard, really, if we understood it to be of this magnitude, why would we be suppressing something that would?
Who is we, Kemosabe?
Well, whatever group you imagine to be doing this would stop.
How about
all
the National Science Foundation? How about Science Magazine?
How about them?
Nature?
How about them?
They have what's called, Gene used to call it sneer review, where you basically can be attacked. In fact, let me get a specific.
But my overall question is not being answered. Why would we want to block a technology?
But we don't, Art.
I mean us collectively.
The collective body of Americans,
yes.
Or the collective body of citizens of Italy or France or Germany or Soviet Union,
yes.
We're not in charge. Somebody else is, and they dictate our reality. They dictate the rules. They dictate the funding. And those who do not go along pay awful prices up to and maybe including the ultimate price.
But if they, in quotes, whoever in the hell they are,
yes.
Understood the magnitude of what's going to occur around 2012.
Who says they intend to be here when it hits the fan? That's back to the alternative three model.
And you're also dealing with religious beliefs.
Where do you think they plan to be?
Okay, remember when I came to Nevada? And I showed you some things, and then I sent you a piece of video, and I asked you to sit on it for a year.
Yes.
The STS-80 video.
I recall extremely well, yes.
And you saw, and then ultimately Whitley wound up putting it on NBC, what looked to be like extraordinary spaceships cavorting around in Earth orbit that are light years beyond the shuttle.
Yes.
And my model is that they aren't aliens, they aren't ETs, they are ours. They're part of a secret black budget program, which has been going on ever since 1947, when, according to your friend, certain Philip Corso,
yes,
we back-engineered a stunning hyperdimensional propulsion and energy technology and have quietly put it to use in the military in a black ops program. And I believe they intend, who these they are, to take a bunch of their cronies and friends, and when the going gets tough, they will get going, probably to Mars. Now, back during the heyday when Hubble was broken, remember Hubble being broken?
Yes.
It couldn't take a decent picture if its life depended on it?
Yes.
I'm walking through the airport in O'Hare, in Chicago, one afternoon, and I happen to see on the newsstand this extraordinary color cover image of Life magazine. And it's a picture of Mars in full color taken by the broken Hubble telescope. Which at that point, because I was kind of close to Hubble, remember the school project I had in Washington where we had the Hubble guys coming in and talking to the kids, so I knew a lot about what was going on, and I said to myself, why in the world, in the middle of their crisis, are they taking pictures of Mars with this damn broken telescope? The title of that Life cover was Our Next Home. Hmm. I wonder who that cover was directed to.
I don't know. To imagine with you, Richard, all of this is to imagine that somebody's making a pretty poor bet. If their bet is to hell with Earth, we're going to let it go through its cyclical change without trying to harness whatever powers you're suggesting to me can change it that have mm-hmm. to do with pyramids. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go racing off to Mars where we're going to have a jolly old time while everybody else on Earth dies. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me that would be a plan of anybody. And I mean, it's not such a good bet, Richard, right now, going to Mars and abandoning a dying Earth.
I'm not quite sure what your problem is, that they wouldn't have the audacity to do that. They wouldn't have the technology. They wouldn't have the money. They wouldn't have the secrecy. They wouldn't have the instinct. They wouldn't have the motivation. Where's the problem in the model, in the theory?
Well, Mars doesn't look like a warm Caribbean island, Richard. It doesn't look...
Yeah, but if it's the only place you can go and not get blown to smithereens because the planet's going to tip over, it's kind of... You know, remember the old joke about where does an 800-pound gorilla sleep?
Anywhere it wants to. Yes.
Okay. We have people living tonight at the bottom of the world in frigid, absolutely minus 120-degree below temperatures and howling 60-80-mile-an-hour gale winds, right?
Yes, we do.
And we used to have them powered by nuclear power before the environmentalists chucked the nukes out of McMurdo. So we're trucking in lots and lots of oil to keep the gas burners going and the mm-hmm. generators going. And in that bubble down there, that geodesic dome, courtesy of Bucky Fuller, we have men and women, and you and I have discussed very strange things going on at the bottom of the world, haven't we not?
We have.
That have lived in a little bubble of technology and light in the middle of such desolation and such privation and cold that you could not survive outside 10 minutes unprotected, right?
Yes.
Mars is far more benign than the Antarctic.
But,
why?
But still not a cakewalk.
But with proper technology and all the money they can pick from your pocket and mine that no one ever is tracking, a few, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, whatever number you think is the few, could keep the human race alive when the rest of it goes to heck in a handbasket.
Why let that happen, Richard?
Because they may not know they can do anything different. Remember what my old Intel friend used to say and says to me again and again when he talks to me. He says the lie is different at every level.
Yep.
If you look at some of the things that are written about these catastrophes by those that are most in the know, they themselves think it is unstoppable. It's like, you know, I used to have a girlfriend, and she was into astrology, and one day she looked at me and she says, I can't fight the planets. They're bigger than I am. And I'm looking at this problem in that vein, that we have been taught that you can't fight Mother Nature. That best you can kind of, you know, come to a truce, maybe a standoff, Mexican standoff, but you can't really intervene and you can't really change your fate if the planet decides to throw what it's going to throw against you. Isn't that the basic story of the global superstorm?
Yes,
well, you get the hell out of the way, you can't do anything about it?
Yes, well, the archaeological side of it, I'm afraid, is on the side of this occurring.
But it doesn't say clearly that you have to keep repeating the sins of the fathers. Maybe we can be smarter this time around. Maybe we can, you know, get enough people to take us seriously. And the cool part, Art, the part that David and I are 100% agreement on, is that we don't have to invent anything. Because we know from data that's leaked out in a variety of ways, and that piece of video that I, you know, gave to you, we know the Black Ops boys have all the necessary technology to at least begin to tackle the problem if they are of a mind to, and it's up to us to make them of a mind to.
David, do you agree with all of that for the most part? Or if you disagree, where?
I see that, for example, you probably heard about this Area 51 scientist, Dr. Dan Borish. Right?
Yes, but I followed that trail, David,
uh-huh.
And... I'm not at all satisfied.
Neither am I.
With the genuine aspect of that trail.
Okay.
I talked to the people.
You got to hear where I was going, though.
I'd love to hear where you're going, and will in a second. I'm just telling you that I interviewed some people who were supposedly in communication with this man.
Uh-huh.
And I did not find reliable or test worthy any of what was said to me. But having said that, and I really wanted to say it, go ahead and say what you were going
to
say.
Well, I just wanted to point out that if anything of what he said is true, that an article that I wrote is one of only about two website links that he uses in his summaries. So what that kind of was a big event for me, because I realized if this guy is for real, then the stuff that Richard and I are working on is cutting edge even for them. So the intel that you and the audience are hearing tonight is as hot, as cutting edge, as fresh as if you were in Area 51 sitting in a small little briefing room and had access to this compartmentalized information. They don't know that the physics can make a difference. The alternative three, the three alternatives that they had are ridiculous. We're talking about like blowing holes in the atmosphere to let the heat out. All you have to do in order to understand how this physics works is basically get down to what's really happening at the quantum level. How is matter created?
Well,
gravity?
We're out here really dancing on the edge, in my opinion.
According to Gene Maloff in that last conversation, and again, I'm thinking how incredibly prescient the things he said and the things I said in that last conversation, because where Gene was when he died is that current physics, including quantum mechanics, relativity, zero point, all of it is garbage. It's
yep.
bunk. Complete garbage, Art. And what replaces it is something akin to what David and I have been talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And this was from Maloff himself. And the proof of this is in the experiments conducted by reputable, exquisitely genius-level people who have actual equipment and technology that is available to be seen on videos or in person and certainly funded for development and cannot get a dime of funding. In fact,
yeah.
his entreatment to me in our conversation was, Dick, if you know of anybody who has an extra $10,000 or $20,000 to put into our nonprofit foundation so we can fund some of these critical experiments and keep these people alive, please let them know. And I said to him, and this is incredibly ironic, I said, Gene, you need to come back on Coast and tell the country yourself what you've got in that drawer. And he said, I would love to.
Hmm.
And of course, 2 days later, he can't do it.
All right. But it is important that we, I don't know, I felt when we started down the Burrish Trail, Richard, you've looked into that?
No, I have looked at Burrish, and I think it's complete disinformation.
Okay,
I think it is complete nonsense. It is more noise. It's like when you get to the end part of this game, Art.
Well, if you don't separate the noise,
you've
Richard,
separate
from the signal, then you're not going anywhere.
That's right, and you've got to be very fine-tuned and know when your BS detector is really being tickled. And the Burrish thing to me, it reeks of disinformation.
Okay, we agree on that.
Apart from that, the fact that Maloff has stood behind in public some stunning technologies, technologies that go back to the work, I'll give you one example, of William Reich. Now, that's a name you should remember, Art.
Yes, of course.
William Reich was a medical doctor, and he got into something called orgone energy,
mm-hmm.
which was never really understood. He tried to get Einstein to take it seriously, and there was some conversation there. And Einstein did not really duplicate a key experiment, and so ultimately passed. But the fact is that the people that Gene has worked with and the lab that he set up has done stunning confirmation of almost everything that William Reich wrote about. And you know what happened to Reich in the 1940s? They ultimately arrested him, locked him in prison, and killed him.
And, of course, Tesla. Tesla has to mix into all of this.
This is, well, all right, we're... It's like the old joke about the guys, you know, all blind guys handling the elephant. One's got the trunk, one's got the leg, one's got the tail. We're all talking about the same stuff. It just has different names. And the stuff that Gene was talking about as the ultimate creator of reality, which goes from beagles to begonias. In other words, consciousness and life and biology and human beings and the spark of the soul that makes us alive and aware and questioning, as well as the sun and the galaxy and Andromeda and anything out there, it's all part of the same stuff, and that is this invisible, massless ether, which Gene said fundamentally can create anything under the right conditions, can reform reality in any form you want under the right conditions, and that in turn is modulated by the transfer between higher dimensions and this 3D reality.
All right, gentlemen, hold tight. Richard C. Hoagland, David Wilcock, and truly a galaxy-like discussion. It comes again and again and again. I wonder if this next time we'll be able to do anything at all about it.
Out on the street, I was talking to a man. He said there's so much about this love of mine that I don't understand. You shouldn't worry, I said that ain't no
with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is indeed. And of this morning's show, I'll tell you, I buy the cyclical event part with regard to Earth. I mean, there's plenty of evidence to back that up. It's happened. It'll happen again. I might even buy where the energy comes from to achieve this change. The hyperdimensional physics aspect of it. I think when you look at the 19.5 evidence, there's plenty of support for it there. So I buy almost all of that. In fact, once again, plug for the movie, The Day After Tomorrow. That's where the energy would come from. So I can buy all of that. I can even understand it. What I can't grasp, what I just cannot grasp, is that a group of humans would covertly, understanding this was coming, whether they thought they could do something about it or not, virtually build something to save their butts, go to Mars, and let Earth and all its inhabitants perish. And that being some great secret plan to save a few butts while all of ours roast. That part I just can't digest. Once again, Richard C. Hoagland, David Wilcock. Gentlemen, welcome back. So I can buy a lot of this. As I said, the cyclical part seems real and supportable. Even the hyperdimensional energy, certainly the energy is real and probably supportable and maybe tappable. But, you know, then to extend out to where you've got this secret group of people who are realizing this catastrophic event's coming to Earth and they're going to escape in their spaceships to Mars or something, leaving us to our awful...
Well, fortunately, the model doesn't depend on the politics. You know, whether there are people that know or don't know is completely irrelevant to what we're figuring out.
What I can believe, Richard, is that people have certain financial interests, like oil, mm-hmm. and the world economy such as it is.
Yeah, remember, the lie is different at every level.
That's...
And for those people, that's their universe, and they will hang on to the last drop. And you know, $4 a gallon, how about $40 a gallon?
Yeah.
Now, that's the box we're in. How do we get out? We have two problems, a short-term problem and a long-term problem. The short-term problem is keeping civilization alive that we want to live in. The long-term problem is keeping the planet alive that we want to live on. And the data that David and I have put together and we're posting on the web, and I think, David, we're going to have more than three parts to this.
Well,
yeah, it sounds like it.
David, if what you said about the experiments in Russia is accurate, then the way to do it is to in some manner force this information to be more public to the degree that the larger institutions have no choice but to attempt to begin to duplicate it and break this out.
The good part is that there's a lot of honest guys in the government. I was there at the May 9th Disclosure Project event in 2001, which kind of got blown away by 911, but nonetheless, I was in that room with the closed executive summary briefing for members of Congress. I watched these guys giving standing ovations when hearing from Sergeant Clifford Stone some of the most wildly esoteric UFO data you could imagine. So there's a lot of people out there who are in positions of power where they can make a difference, and they honestly don't know about this stuff because it's not part of the regular, legitimate government.
This is why I'm planning in the briefing that I'm going to do on the Hill to bring some of these technologies and, if necessary, some of the scientists to Washington to stand there with me. And Gene was going to be one of my prime witnesses. Well, there are a lot of others. Gene was a conduit. Gene was a nexus point. But Gene, fortunately, was not one of a kind.
Well, Gene is obviously no longer with us. That's the horrible news of the night,
but
folks.
But the important thing is...
there's a device.
Knowing his integrity, I mean, I will send to you, because you obviously have been looking at this and wanting a real set of stuff to appear for a long time.
Oh, yes.
I will send you what he sent to me, which is his first-person technical and philosophical testimony of what he observed, the experiments, how it works, the technology demonstrated in front of him.
Do you have enough information, Richard, to be led back to this, to get this device?
I know who the people are. I've talked with them.
Can you make your way to this device?
I can probably. I'm going to call them, but maybe I shouldn't call them. Maybe I should physically go there, because the last person I called, very nasty things happened to. So I may have to be a little smarter about it this time. But I know who they are, and I know what they've done, and I know the foundations it will rock if I can demonstrate to these people
in
Washington,
of course,
the honest people, which I totally agree with David, that regardless of whether there's a cabal or not, 99.99% of the system, Art, is completely ignorant of anything.
All right, David, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, I've seen the film of the device that everybody is so hot for. When Dr. Greer is talking about Seize Power, SEAS, Space Energy Access
Systems. He's been hot on it for a while.
It's probably the same one that Dr. Eugene Maloff was talking about.
No, it's not.
Well,
this one works.
Well, that's the thing. I just wanted to say that I saw a film.
And this
of
is
a
not
guy.
Just a device. It is a physics of a multiple series of devices, including Art, one that produces anti-gravitational effects.
Are you two talking about the same device?
No.
Just let me get this out. The one that I saw was a half a sphere, and it had an outlet, a regular, ordinary 120-volt AC outlet on it.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was able to start his car with it, and he was able to power a lamp and do anything that you'd normally do with a regular outlet. Now,
It's not the same.
Okay.
The one I'm thinking of is a motor, Art, and get this. The motor is not connected to anything. It just sits in empty space, and it spins, and when you touch it, as a human being, it spins faster.
Yeah.
Because the physics is a physics of life. Remember the old Victorian idea of the vital force, the life force?
Yes.
That's why biology on this planet appeared at a certain time, half a billion years ago, after certain things happened on the Earth that had not happened in 3.5 billion years before. It's because biology and consciousness are part of this physics, which brings me to something very important. You have conducted yourself, my friend, 7, count the number, tetrahedral 7, fundamental consciousness experiments.
Yes.
Great experiment.
And one of those saved my life.
Yep.
As we recounted the other night with George when Robin was on as a guest. Without that intrusion into my situation, I did not know at the time, and No one has known, so we're going to tell, you know, your audience tonight. The doctors had, in essence, written me off.
Yep.
They basically told her I was toast. They didn't tell me, but they told her. So she did, moved heaven and earth with all the supplements and all the other things, and did her part of this miracle. But the other part, Art, that I really cannot discount, because I could feel it, there was an actual palpable change in how I felt. And believe me, when you're dying, you're very sensitive to how you feel.
Yeah, the other subjects of this experiment said these exact same words.
Okay, when you focus the consciousness of, I don't know how many of the millions of people who are listening to us tonight, unbelieving of many of the things we've been saying, when you focus all those people on me to get well, it changed. Something changed. In fact, it changed so dramatically that some of my enemies put things on web. Remember
Richard,
that?
Yes. Richard.
Now, here's where it gets important.
I know it. I know it works.
Let me finish.
Remember
that?
Yes. Richard.
Now, here's where it gets important.
I know it. I know it works. I'm going to let you finish. I know it works.
Okay. So if it works, and we're dealing with a ruffled physics, a out of tune, a dissonant, think of those fingers on the blackboard, everybody, that awful sound you used to hear in school that would make your teeth crawl and you jump out of your seat.
Yeah.
Think of that magnified 100 billion times, and that's what the world feels, and it tips over. But the antidote is maybe not just technology, maybe not gadgets, maybe not machines, maybe not what Gene was looking at, but what Art Bell has been doing, which is to focus people's energies, their concentration,
maybe,
on smoothing out the rough edges and moving us through this perilous time in a coherent, musical, coherent fashion, a harmonious transition as opposed to a discordant transition. It could be as simple, Art, as getting this audience to focus on a future they really want to happen, not the one they're afraid will happen.
I'm real glad to hear Richard Hoagland say that.
Well,
because there is a unity between the physics and consciousness and life. That's what the bottom line of this research has proven now to my satisfaction.
Well, I'm glad you're satisfied because I've been saying that for a long time. I wanted to check out one more pyramid thing because it totally ties in with what you just said. This one came from the Russian National Academy of Science, and they just took ordinary salt and pepper and stuck it inside the pyramid. They then removed it and fed it surreptitiously to about 5,000 people in certain selected jails in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly, within a few months, there was a dramatic improvement in the behavior of the guys in the jails. Most of the criminal behavior almost completely disappeared. Alcoholism disappeared, whereas in the control jails, there was no sign of any behavioral change. Nothing in the jails under this study had changed except that the salt and pepper from the pyramids was being secretly added to their food. So if the energy from the pyramid harnesses and focalizes this energy of consciousness, if the pyramid structure has sort of like a funnel effect for this fluid-like energy and can concentrate it, and if consciousness can move the energy the same way, then what if each person is sort of like a little portable stargate, and the reason why we're having so much trouble has to do with people's inability to be honest with themselves, honest with each other, then their own internal shadow side gets projected out into the collective, so you get the shadow of each person being acted out in these occult politics. And when we get right with ourselves inside, the whole hologram changes. So I do have a portion of my work that focuses extensively on what we can do just in terms of getting to know ourselves better and basically just being nice to people and the difference that that can really make. Meditating for world peace can decrease the crime in a given city by 76%. That was the Maharishi effect.
The numbers are there. The studies are there, yes.
It's true.
Now, remember Bob's fast blast a few hours ago where he asked, is the problem, you know, in ourselves?
Yes.
And not the universe?
Yes.
The answer is yes. We are part of the broken physics of this system. The difference is the planet can't change itself because it's not conscious. We are conscious. We can control this dynamic, and you and I have lived through these experiments. Remember our Princeton colleagues and their little eggs, right?
Yep.
Clearly.
We know that if we harness the combined good, positive energies of enough people, miracles, what anybody else would define as a miracle, can happen. I am literally tonight talking to you, Art, because I'm living proof of your faith and confidence in people to make a difference in my life.
Absolutely.
Well, I've seen this power work, so I know it works. I'm pretty well beyond that. I have no greater understanding of this power and the possible consequences of its use than I had then. I don't understand it, and so I'm very hesitant to toy with what I don't understand. Once I realized it, oh gosh, you know, hey, this really is a power. This really does work. Once that hit me like a brick, then it slowed me down because I began to tell myself I don't understand what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, and there is a law of unintended consequences. There's also, I suppose, a time when things are so serious that you don't have much to lose.
You got it. When the cliff is behind you and,
yes.
and the thing is in front of you and you've
yes.
got to make the decision. But you
yes.
have now demonstrated seven times that this, in a proper moral atmosphere, can produce important miracles. And you've intervened in people's lives, my friend. You intervened in my life. And I believe firmly that I am here tonight in part because of what you were able to get this collective consciousness of all those people out there to mm-hmm. focus on, which is to keep me around so I can be a thorn in your side for a few more years.
Now, if we get the disclosure of this technology, it can't but only add to the way that people are going to open up and change, and that will change the physics. So it's like you teach people the physics, and the physics changes.
See, this is one reason I think why certain of these discoveries are suppressed, not so much because of the technical or technological aspects of what they will make possible, but because of the incredible liberating effects on consciousness.
Correct.
We are our own worst enemies. We have trapped ourselves within this prison, and all we see played out on CNN are endless tape loops of horror and destruction and degradation and perdition and every possible vile thing you can imagine ramped up to a crescendo where people either turn off or tune out or go crazy.
If it bleeds, it leads.
So the antidote is to provide people with hope, with a capital H. And there's something going to happen in our arena this summer, and Linda Moulton Howe, God bless her, is the first person to give us real information and intelligence on this. She interviewed one of the senior scientists on the Mars Express mission. And Whitley was talking to you the other night about this, remember?
Oh, yes.
How she said that, and I went to her website, and I'm going to link to a story we're doing on this, you know, after David and I, you know, have finished with this program tonight. But she interviewed this guy who was the chief scientist on the spectrometer on the Mars Express spacecraft, and he came within a hair's breadth of admitting he's found benzene, formaldehyde, and other organic molecules produced only by life because they disappear in the Mars atmosphere in hours unless they're replaced. And he plans to announce his firm findings either in July, across, by the way, David, the canonical July 20th date,
uh-huh.
the Coast Bar meeting, the sacred Egyptian ritual date of July 20th,
mm-hmm.
or at the September meeting later in the fall just before the American election. What he's going to announce is that these molecules have been found, they've been confirmed, and they prove conclusively, because they can't be there otherwise, that there's current life on Mars. Art, when that happens, and this is what I was telling Gene, and we had such joy sharing our positive outcomes now that we've gone through the vineyards and labored for so long to see light at the end of this tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Gene, when that happens, he said, you don't have to tell me, Dick, he said, all kinds of other paradigms will come marching through that door,
yep.
and things people thought were impossible, outrageous, nonsense, bunk, pseudoscience will suddenly have to be taken seriously, and the media will become our friend because they'll be avidly following up on the stories of all the other discoveries that nobody thought were true that turn out to be true. And that, by the way, is the title of my talk on Capitol Hill, Life on Mars and Other Fantasies That Are Real.
Well, that should get their attention.
Part of the fulfillment of the prophecies. I mean, there are all these prophecies that talk about the kind of conditions we're going through right now.
There are.
And they describe a massive change in the whole way in which society functions and how people think about themselves.
They do.
And, see, I'm a great believer in free will. And I've gotten a lot of metaphysical stuff under my belt over the last 20 years in doing this and pursuing this. And I really believe, David, that if we were doomed, if we were condemned to do what the previous generations were condemned to, we wouldn't be given these choices.
Yeah, why would there be a prophecy?
What's the opposition point? Is fighting so hard to keep us from figuring it out, because if we figure it out, we get enough people to join with us, we can make a difference.
Well, what
and
I'm
that's
hoping,
what Gene died believing.
What I'm hoping is that by a strict political expediency, the number of people who know about this becomes too great that even if somebody does want to suppress it, they basically can't in order to save face. That's what needs to happen. And the way we're going to do that is by getting the people who can get the message out to the people aware of how simple this is, aware that the whole entire solar system is changing in very obvious ways. If this movie, Day After Tomorrow, can help kickstart that whole thing and get people talking about this stuff, they can segue right into what we're doing right now. All NASA scientists, all mainstream, nothing fringe, nothing Russian, straight-ahead science that says the solar system is changing, and then we need to learn about the physics to figure out what we can do to get through this more smoothly.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing you've said tonight, to document the changes going on all around us. That should have meaning. Richard, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Art. I have one little surprise for you.
Very quickly.
Fox has invited Robin and me to be with you at the premiere.
All right.
We will see you in New York, my friend.
Congratulations.
All right. Congratulations, Richard. See you in New York.
Good night, David.
Good night.
Hi, Richard. Good night, Art.
Good night. Richard C. Hoagland, David Wilcock, and there you have it. Well, everybody, see you tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, another advocate of multiple dimensions, the incredible Dr. Michio Kaku. For me, and for all those who help bring this program to you, from the high desert, Night Hall.